Bitch. Is that better? Is bitch better? Is bitch better? Is bitch better?
Hey, bitches. Welcome back to another episode of Bitches Better. I'm your host, Raven, and y'all already know what time it is. It's time to talk about our favorite dysfunctional relationships. And y'all know I'm going to start in that magical place that I like to call Love After Lockup Land. So we didn't get Destiny and Sean this week, so I'm just going to start with the other couple that raises my blood pressure just as much as they do, if not more. That is Sarah and Michael. I am sure you're not surprised to hear that. Okay, so this is the same day that Michael did not show up to their custody hearing. So now he's showing up at Sarah's house and there's no reason for him to be there. If there's anything that he needs to know, like about what happened in court, I'm sure the court will find a way to get him the information that he needs. I'm positive. But Sarah's dumbass keeps allowing this shit, so it's her fault too. She keeps playing this game because she's still in love with him. And you know what? They deserve each other because they're both trash, honestly. I just feel bad for the kids. And Malcolm. Get out of there, Malcolm. So then Sarah is like, I don't want Michael to think he can just come and go whenever he wants. Really? Because from where I'm sitting, that's exactly what it looks like. Because you do indeed let him come and go whenever the fuck he pleases. And she just keeps on with this same old, like, he needs to step it up and be their father. He's not going to do that, babe, because he doesn't want to. The only reason you're seeing his ass now is because his shenanigans have landed y'all on this TV show and y'all are getting a check from it. He wants nothing to do with those kids or you, and he's shown you that thousands of times, okay? You didn't believe him the first time like Maya Angelou says you should, or the thousandth time like the viewers have said you should. Stupid ass. So then Michael is like, oh, well, me not showing up to court has nothing to do with me having a female with me the night before. And no shit. It has everything to do with you being a sorry excuse for a man that wants nothing to do with the kids that he created. He knows good and damn well he didn't want custody of those kids. Like, please quit playing. So then Sarah sounds like the dumbest bitch alive in her confessional, talking about Malcolm's gonna have to get used to the way that Michael operates because he's not going anywhere. Sarah, you simple bitch. Michael is going somewhere. Once he leaves, you will not see his ass again until it's time to film something, okay? How have you not caught on to this yet? And if you aren't asked back for the show, he's going to ghost you like no one has ever ghosted anyone before. And she's acting like Malcolm is, you know, suggesting that she, like, never speak to Michael again or something like that. But that's not the case. He's just saying, you know, get some boundaries going, get some, you know, guidelines and shit, and, like, stop letting him run shit, which is what's happening right now. But Sarah is so stupid and desperately in love with Michael that she can't see that. And you can tell that she's been waiting to be able to say, sorry, he's the father of my kids. He ain't going nowhere, to like a man that she's dating. She's literally getting off on this shit because in her head, then she's going to tell Michael and he's going to be like, oh, you just need to be with me and we'll be a family and like live happily ever after. But anyone with a brain knows that's never going to happen. So Michael is talking about Malcolm and then he calls him soft because he's nice and like isn't starting any drama or problems with him. And I'm just like, you are so fucking ignorant. Like, this is the way that mature adults behave, babe. I know you don't know a thing about that, though. And that's why you're acting this way and making these stupid comments. Michael and Sarah are the type of people that thrive off of drama and chaos. And the fact that Malcolm is a nice, normal, mature guy that's not with the games is confusing to both of them. Like, they don't know what the fuck's going on. Malcolm, get out of there right now. Run. Don't walk. So then Michael and Sarah are talking and he asks what they said in court and they said basically that he gets another chance, which is insane. And I guarantee that he blows his next chance because, like I said, he doesn't want custody of those kids. He doesn't give a shit about them. So apparently Michael didn't make it to court because he didn't wake up until 1 o'clock p.m. Court was at 10 a.m. That's not even early. And Michael and Sarah are sitting there like giggling about it, like thinking it's funny and cute or something. Like, it's not. And then all of a sudden things take a turn, but instead of, you know, things getting heated and them starting to like yell at each other, Sarah just tells Michael to get out of her house. And he does. Now, in his confessional, Michael says that he's not worried about losing any of his rights as far as the kids go, because Sarah always raises the issue and then backs down. And she just does that same shit over and over again. And he's 100% right about that. We've seen it ourselves. And I just like, I honestly feel like the only reason she even tries to get him to like go to court or like, you know, see the kids and all of that shit is just so she can see him. She wants an excuse to see him, and that's the bottom line. Malcolm is a bright young man, and he can see the games that Michael is playing and also the games that Sarah's playing with him. And I think he's just about over it, and I don't blame him. Like, he needs to get the fuck out of there now. And Sarah's one of those bitches that's going to go through life blaming the fact that she can't keep a good man because of Michael. And there's just nothing she can do about it because he's the father of her kids and he's not going anywhere. When that just simply is not true. If she wanted to, she could set boundaries and things like that. But she knows that if she does that, Michael will disappear from her life forever because, you know, the slightest inconvenience will deter him. And she doesn't want that. She wants access to him forever because she's still in love with him. So if that means, you know, being his back burner bitch for the rest of her life, that he fucks whenever he comes to New York, like, that's just what it's going to be. And that's how her story goes. Tragic. Okay, moving on. Next hot mess of a couple, we've got Andrea and Lamar. So they're all having a family dinner, and Andrea is asking Priscilla about their day at the beach. And, you know, her being the literal child that she is, she almost slips up and tells her about them meeting her sister Shantae at the beach. And Lamar quickly covers up for her. But it's like I said, I mean, you cannot ask an 8-year-old child to lie and keep a secret that big from their mother. Like, please be serious. This is not going to happen. The truth will come out eventually, and Andrea will kill Lamar. So while they're having this dinner, the whole conversation about Tennyson not wanting to go on his mission comes up again. And again, he explains that, you know, he doesn't want to leave Priscilla alone with their parents because it's a toxic environment. So, you know, his extra responsible teenage ass wants to stay and look after her. He's an angel. And his mother is a lunatic, and that's that. Okay. So now Andrea has decided that she's going to force her kids to do a lemonade stand and use it as a way to spread the gospel. And the kids are not feeling it, but they have to do it because she said so. But as soon as she goes inside, they're like, no, like, we're just going to hang out. So they're talking, and Priscilla's like drawing a little notebook, and they're like, what you drawing over there? And she says it's her family tree, and, you know, Shantae is on there. And she's like, well, I'm not supposed to tell, but... And then she tells them about her and Lamar going to the beach to meet Shantae. And she's like, please don't tell Mom. And now, poor thing, she's all scared that she's going to get in trouble. And it's so sad because, like I said, I mean, you should have never told this child to keep this secret from her mom. It's ridiculous. And Tennyson and Nyla think the same thing, especially when her mother is Andrea. Like, come on, Lamar, you know how she is. You married her. You know better. You know better. Side note, Tennyson's shirt in his confessional is giving me major Saved by the Bell vibes, and I'm really into it. That's it for them. Moving on to Lindsay and Scott. So Lindsay is getting her snoop on because Scott is steady going through her stuff. So she's sick of it. She's like, you know what? The only reason he's doing that is because he's probably hiding something himself. And I also believe that to be true. So Lindsay's in his office and she's snooping around, and she finds a bunch of past due bills and a lease agreement for the house that Scott said that he purchased. So now it's making more sense why he didn't do a bunch of the stuff he said he would do to the house, because the house ain't his. And he's broke. He doesn't have the funds. And you know what? It's just like the Scott of Scott and Lizzie a few seasons ago. Like, these men just lie to these women about having money. And I just don't understand how they think they can just keep this lie going. Like, you're gonna run out of money at some point. Like, so then what are you going to do? So anyway, she kept snooping around, and she found every picture that she's ever taken, like, of herself on his computer, along with copies of letters that she got from, like, her loved ones and, like, stuff like that when she was locked up, which is just creepy as hell. And he like made copies of it. It's fucking weird. And she found an old phone and she's looking through the messages and he was like talking to prostitutes and stuff. And, you know, then she calls her mom and she's like, I found all this shit in here. And her mom is like, okay, well, now I'm concerned about you and Miley living with him. And that's fair. I'd be like, you need to get out of there right now. Come on over to my house. Okay. The last thing that she finds is something on his computer that leads her to believe that Scott has like cameras hidden around the house. And I thought she was going to start looking for the cameras, but she didn't. And that's really all that we got from them. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out once he gets home and she like confronts him about it or does whatever the fuck she's going to do. It's sure to be a blowout. All right. Next up is Lacey and Shane. So John is out of prison after being in there for 10 months, but I'm sure he'll be back in there soon enough. That's how he does, just in and out of prison. Also, he yells daddy's home when he walked out of prison, and it was gross. I wanted to throw up. So apparently how he got locked up was he and Lacey were out at a bar and they got into a fight and he left. And then allegedly Lacey called the cops on him and told them that he was drinking and driving, which he obviously was because that's what he was arrested for. And it's fucked up that she did that, but not at all surprising, but also don't drink and drive. But he's like, why would she do that? You know, because she's spiteful like that, John. I mean, you know this. What are you talking about? Come on now. So he's on this whole, I gotta find out why she called the cops on me thing. No. Fuck Lacey. Just let it go. It does not matter at this point. Just never speak to her again and it won't happen again, you know? And his friend's telling him the same thing, but he's not listening. So then they go creeping on her Instagram and I'm just like, John, she played you. Just accept this and move on. But he won't. And he's like, I'm not trying to sound conceited or nothing, but Lacey is always going to come back to me because when she's with someone for too long, she gets bored with them. Okay. But you realize you're included in that too, right? Like you're not exempt. How many times has she left you? Okay, then. Next. So then we have Brittany and Marcelino. Like I said, you know, I really don't have very much to say about them. She's talking about her mom's struggle with drug addiction. It's very sad. That's it. Amber and Puppy. Ugh. Puppy is getting out of prison sooner than expected. Good for her, but I don't give a shit. And that's it for Love After Lockup. No Sean and Destiny, no Quaylon and Chevelle. I almost missed them. So that's it for them. Hopefully we get to see them next week and they could leave out Brittany and Marcelino and Puppy and Amber. And that would be like the perfect setup for me. We'll see. On to 90 Day Fiancé. All right. I'm going to start with Brandon and Julia. So they're in the car and they're on the way to the airport to go pick up Julia. And Brandon's dad is like, oh man, this is about to be a new chapter in your life. This is so exciting. And the mom is like, a new chapter for all of us in all of our lives. No, it has nothing to do with you, actually. The dad got it right the first time. Just hush up for once, lady, please. So Brandon's talking about, you know, this whole thing with all of them going to pick Julia up. And he's like, yeah, you know, my mom says that she has all these plans for me and Julia. And, you know, I mean, she does have her helicopter mom moments. Honey, she is 100% helicopter mom 100% of the time. All of her moments are helicopter-like, okay? I need for you to know that. So they're at the airport and his mom is all nervous and fidgety, like as they're waiting for Julia to arrive. And it's ridiculous. There's just no way in hell I would have agreed to having them there with me. I need my time with my significant other. You can see them later on. Okay. Brandon honestly needs to get off of his mom's tit and assert himself more when it comes to her, because this is just ridiculous. So Julia finally arrives, you know, and she's super excited to see Brandon, of course. She runs up, jumps on him, and her luggage cart goes rolling and just like directly into his mother, like almost running her over, which I don't think that was an accident, by the way. I think she was trying to mow that lady down with her luggage. And who could blame her, right? So, you know, they're making out and everything because they love each other and they haven't seen each other in months. And his parents are just awkwardly standing there and watching. And I'm like, this is why you shouldn't be here right now, you fucking weirdos. Oh, God. So then they're all standing there together. And this messy producer is like, hey, Brandon, who's the most important woman in your life? Julia or your mom? And Julia and his mom are standing right next to him. And he's just like, I don't know. It's totally his mom, though. Like, he knows this. We all know this. They need to go on that that show, I Love a Mama's Boy. They need to go on there, and Colt and Debbie need to be on there as well. Have any of y'all watched it? I haven't yet because I just feel like it'll freak me out too much. Kind of like that Smothered show. Like, I just... I tried to watch Smothered and I just could not do it. It was too weird. I draw the line at a mother and daughter duo, like sharing the same bathwater. Like, keep that shit away from me. Far away from me. I don't want nothing to do with that. Nasty asses. Ew. Okay. Back on track. Sorry. So just as I suspected, Julia is super annoyed by Brandon's mom being there and like planning all this shit for them to do as soon as she lands. You know, Julia just wants to chill and spend time with Brandon. She's tired. So again, Brandon's mom does this annoying, like rushing everyone around shit that I hate. They check into their rooms and they can't even put their bags down, and she's in the door and she's like, okay, I'm not trying to rush y'all, but like, let's hurry up and get to dinner because we only have a few minutes. Back the fuck off, lady. This bitch just got off a long ass flight and there's no consideration for that. None at all. It's insane. Brandon, speak up for your girl. Come on. She's literally going to be around forever now. She's here to stay and y'all can hang out at another time. This is ridiculous. So Brandon and Julia take about 30 minutes to get downstairs to dinner, so I'm assuming they fucked. And as soon as they sat down, Brandon's mom is like, so yeah, when we get back home, you're gonna have your own room separate from Brandon's. And Julia's looking like, what the fuck? And the mom is totally getting off on this moment from breaking this news to her and seeing that she's clearly not pleased with this news. And I'm just like, girl, let Brandon tell her on his own. This is too fucking weird for me, okay? You're paying for them to share a room at this hotel that you're sitting in right now, but they can't share a room at your house because they are not married yet? This is so stupid. Like, definitely your house, your rules, but your rules are stupid and make no sense. So that just needed to be said. So then the whole conversation about like babies and safe sex comes up, and Julia's like, no, like we're not trying to have babies right now. And the mom is like, okay, but you're making sure you're being safe then, right? And Julia's face is like, what the fuck? This is not happening right now. Like, she is not into this conversation. I do not blame her. I'm not into it. I wouldn't be if I was in her position. She handled it very well though, because she was pissed the whole entire time. Who wouldn't be? And she's just like, no, I'm not taking birth control because I don't want to. And that's that. And what did Brandon say or do the whole time? Nothing. Not a damn thing, because he's a little fucking weenie. Brandon and his mom can fuck right off. So they leave dinner and Brandon is like, so what's up? And Julia's like, oh no, don't fucking talk to me now. You were mute at dinner. Keep that same energy now. Thank you. And she's like, listen, you need to say something to your parents about this whole sex talk. And you also need to tell them that if we can't sleep together in the same room, then we're leaving their house. And she's like, we're not going to be able to spend, you know, very much time together this way. And then Brandon's weak ass is like, I mean, yeah, my mom wants to be super involved in our relationship, but we kind of owe her. She's really helping us out, you know, and she even paid for Julia's flight. Okay, so that equals she gets to dictate everything in your relationship? No. And you know how your mom is, so why the fuck would you ever agree to this? Like, and it's fucked up for you to put Julia in this situation and not tell her what it was gonna be until she got here. Now she has no choice but to go along with this weird ass shit, and it's not cool. And he's like, well, I mean, do you wanna talk to them again? And she's like, no. You are going to talk to them because they are your parents. And also, if I do it, it's going to absolutely 100% be a fight. So yeah, fix this. And I was like, yes, Julia, I like her. I like her, okay? So that's it. Next week, it looks like she's gonna be on his ass still about it because he still hasn't said anything to his parents. So I'm like, oh my goodness. Woo, I'm ready for it. Next up is Jovi and Yara. Now, Jovi thinks that Yara is not going to be impressed with his apartment, and he was absolutely right. Yara says that his taste is like, I don't care. And I think that's true about a lot of men Jovi's age that live alone. So she shows up and the apartment is a mess. And she's like, you could have at least cleaned up before I came. And I agree. You knew that she was coming. Clean up the house. This has happened so many times on this show, and I still get shocked every time I see it. Your girlfriend, fiance, significant other is coming here to live. Clean up the fucking house. It's the least you could do. If I walked into a mess like that, I'd be like, wow, so you just really don't give a fuck about me, huh? Okay, noted. So Jovi wants to go out after this poor girl has been flying for 30 fucking hours. The bitch is exhausted, okay? Anyone would be. And the fact that he even asked her to go out is insane. The audacity, y'all. I can't. And he's mad about it. He's mad that she doesn't want to go out. He's like, oh, I've been waiting and I want to go out and I want you to see my friends and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. We'll stay in. Go ahead and take a shower and go to bed then. And I'm just like, your attitude, like, what is it about? what is that? Adjust it or like get the fuck out of my face. So he says that he really thought that she would be excited to go out and see Bourbon Street and party after flying for 30 hours, though. You are a fucking moron and you're selfish, okay? You should have asked her before planning all that shit and telling your friends that you would absolutely be out. Like, no, don't do that. Ugh, good luck with him, Yara. I can't. So the next day, they get up and, you know, Yara's still in the mood because the apartment is dirty and she wants to, like, unpack and get settled. And Jovi's like, no, do it later. Like, let's go out and, like, do something fun. And I'm just like, you know what, Jovi? Some of us like to get things like that done before we go out and get drunk so we don't have to think about it later. Because some of us might be thinking about it the whole time and you come back home to a mess and then you're pissed off. That's exactly why his apartment is a mess right now, because he's like, oh, I'll do it later, but you never do it. Whatever. So they go to Bourbon Street and I'm jealous. I miss New Orleans and I cannot wait to be able to go back. The food, the drinks, the live music, I fucking love it. However, Yara is not impressed. She's like, wow, it's dirty and it smells like shit. This is not what I was expecting from America. And I just think it's so funny that all of these people that come on here, they just think that America's like beautiful and like great, like every single part of it. And it's just like, nope, sorry to disappoint. So she's like, damn, I mean, Ukraine is poor and everything, but it looks better than this shit. And I was just like, oh my God. People always talk about like how dirty New Orleans is, like especially around Bourbon Street. But I don't remember it being so dirty. Like that was not my experience. I mean, to be fair, I was pretty fucked up the whole time, but I still, like not the entire time. I feel like I would have been like, oh yeah, this is kind of dirty. You know what I mean? I don't know. Just a little example of how fucked up I was when we were in New Orleans. So me and my friends were there for my birthday. And the last night that we were there was my actual birthday. And we all were so stupid and booked like flights the next day at like 7 a.m. So we were all like, let's stay out all night. You know, bad idea. So we stayed out all night. We're hammered. Okay, now it's time to go to the airport. We get to the airport, you know, and this is after you've already like drunk, packed up all your stuff, probably left a bunch of shit and whatever. Get there, going through security. You know, if you're wearing a jacket, you have to take the jacket off. Well, I get up there to take my little zip up jacket off and I realize I don't have a shirt on under it. So I was like, hey, actually, I don't have a shirt on under this, but like, I'm still happy to take the shirt off if you need me to, because this is New Orleans, right? Like, you know? And they were like, no, keep it on. Just come through here, please, drunkie. And I was like, okay, well, that hurts my feelings that you don't want to see my tits. I think that they're pretty nice, like, and everyone would have enjoyed it, but fine. I'll go on through. So, yeah, I got my feelings hurt early that morning leaving New Orleans, but I won't hold it against them. I still love them. Okay, anyway, so while they're out, Joey tells Yara that they're gonna go to his mom's house to meet his family and that they're gonna stay the night there. And Yara was like, "Yeah, I'm not staying there. Like, why can't we just go see her and then come back home?" And I'm thinking the same thing. Like, I mean, how far away does your mom live? Why do we need to be staying overnight? You know? And she's asking him these questions and he doesn't give any answers, which is super annoying. And Yara's like, "Listen, I don't like to stay in other people's houses, and I don't do things that I don't like to do or things that make me uncomfortable. Like, I'm just not doing it." And I was like, "Same. If I don't want to do it, I'm not really going to do it, okay?" And she even explained to him why and said that it makes her uncomfortable. And he's like, "Well, you don't have a choice." And what? What the fuck do you mean I don't have a choice? Bitch, I always have a choice, okay? So please understand that. That's not exactly what she said, but that's my interpretation of it. She's like, "Listen, I do have a choice. I can go back to Ukraine. Like, it's not even looking so bad right now because this is dirty right here." And then Jovi does the discussing American thing, you know, talking about how America's better than Ukraine, which is just like so rude. So rude to say to your Ukrainian wife to be. Like, that's home for her. But whatever. She's like, "I'm not talking about this shit anymore." And he's like, "Well, so are you going or not?" And she's like, "Yes, but I'm not staying at her house." And I'm just like, listen to what the fuck she's saying. She never said she wasn't gonna go to see your mom and your family. She just said she wasn't gonna stay there because she is not comfortable. And honestly, like, you should be trying to do everything that you can to make her comfortable. And you're not doing that at all, Jovi. So, like, fuck you. Now we can get into the couples that I don't really give a shit about. So this should go pretty quickly. Mike and Natalie. Okay, so because Natalie is coming, Uncle Beau has to move out because she doesn't feel comfortable living with him. And Mike feels bad for, you know, having to make him leave, which I get, but I also get Natalie not feeling comfortable living with him. You know, she doesn't know that man, and I'm sure that she's gonna be spending a lot of time in the house with him. So yeah, sorry, Uncle Beau. So Natalie finally makes it to the States, and Mike greets her with flowers at the airport. And that ungrateful bitch doesn't like the flowers. She's like, "Oh, I don't like the flowers because they're purple." Girl, fuck you. He didn't have to give you any flowers at all. Like, it's the thought that counts. Oh my God, I can't. Like, even if you didn't like the flowers because they're purple or whatever, to say it to him is like, what is wrong with you? So rude. So then, they go back to this place that Mike has rented for them, and it looks super nice, and it's all like romantic, and they have a nice time together, and whatever. That's it. Then we have Tariq and Hazel, and I completely forgot about Tariq being a rapper. That's in quotes. Until we see him in the studio, and I'm like, oh, please no. I do not want to hear him rapping about hot sauce or anything else for that matter, like ever again. No more, please. And he says that he's an excellent rapper. And listen, I'm happy that he's so confident. We love that. But please don't make us listen to this shit again. I'm begging. So apparently, Hazel has just told Tariq that she's bisexual. And, you know, he was surprised by this. And then she started talking to him about wanting to have a girlfriend. Then we see a conversation between the two of them. And she's asking him if there are hot girls in Virginia Beach. And Tariq just does not know what to do with this situation because he is starting to feel like she wants a girl just instead of him. And now it's this whole thing for him. So, Tariq is hanging out with one of his friends and he's telling her this story about how he and Hazel broke up for a short period of time because of this misunderstanding where Tariq thought that Hazel got pregnant and had an abortion without telling him, but she actually was never pregnant. So, anyway, like during this time that they were broken up, Tariq literally wasted no time and started talking to this woman from Thailand. And then, you know, he and Hazel made up and got back together. And Tariq told Hazel about this other woman. And plot twist, Hazel is now into this other woman as well. So they all meet up and Hazel Hazel is over it very soon after this meeting because this other woman is more into Tariq than she was into Hazel. And Tariq was a little too into the other woman for Hazel's liking. So she was like, this is done. This is canceled. We're not doing this no more. Tariq, you better not talk to that bitch no more. I mean it. But guess what? He kept on talking to her. Typical. He says he's going to tell Hazel about this, but I doubt it. I just really doubt it. Also, something that I have to point out, you know how I do this. It's not important, but I have to say it. He was wearing a necklace that says Tarzel, which is both of their names put together, like a Brangelina type situation, except for not, because you don't give yourself one of those couple names. Also, Tarzel sounds gross, and I hate it. I can't with these people. Where do they find these people? Oh, God. Okay. And last but not least, we've got Rebecca and Ziad. Rebecca is at the gym with a shirt with Ziad's face on it, and it is shocking. Girl, take that shit off. You look stupid. Please. So she's talking to her friend, and, you know, her friend has done this background check on Ziad because she's a PI, and Rebecca used to be a PI as well, and she just thinks this whole thing is a bad idea, especially because, you know, Rebecca has literally been through this exact same shit already, and she's still trying to financially recover from that in the divorce and everything like that, but she don't care. She's just going to go along with it anyway. So now... Rebecca has gone to GameStop or some store like that to buy Ziad a gaming system because he asked for one. So I don't know why she is in this store acting all clueless about what kind of game or gaming system to get Ziad. Just ask him. He will tell you exactly what he wants. This isn't going to be a surprise or anything, so just do it that way and make sure you get the right stuff. Don't bother this nice girl working at the store and telling her all of your business and showing her pictures of Ziad and shit. I promise you, she doesn't care. And it doesn't matter what age he is or what he looks like or any of that. Like, people of all ages play video games, so I don't know what that whole conversation was like. It's just, I always get so annoyed when they share all of that information to these random people who don't ask. They just blurt it out. And I'm just like, it's so obviously, like, producers have, like, told her to do that. And that bugs me. Like, don't. Just don't. We don't need that. So Rebecca goes up to, like, pay for this stuff, and she pulls out a debit card with Ziad's fucking face on it. Rebecca, grow up. You have to grow up. You've got this man's face on a blanket, a shirt, a coffee mug, your debit card. She's got to be stopped. Someone needs to suspend her Shutterfly account because she has gone entirely too far. Like, this is enough, okay? So then Ziad has done his, you know, his K-1 visa interview or whatever, but he doesn't know if he's approved yet, and he'll find out in a week, and Rebecca's all stressed about it, but we already know he's getting approved, so yeah. And that's it for our dysfunctional couples this week, y'all. That's it. That's all I've got. But I'll be back very soon to talk Bravo, and I am so excited because there is a lot to discuss there. A lot. In the meantime, head over to patreon.com/bitchisbetter and become a patron so you can get some bonus content, okay? And then also make sure you follow me on Instagram and Twitter at mainly Bravo. I'll be back to talk to y'all very soon. I love y'all. Bye.